Hello and welcome back. My name is Rabbi Avi Heller, and together we are learning Masechet Moed Katan. We are on the second daf, so it's daf Gimel Amud Bet, that's 3b, and we are about 19 lines from the bottom, right at the beginning of the line. Just to bring us back up to speed, because we're in the middle of a sugya, we're dealing with the seventh year in the land of Israel, which is, we usually call that a Shemitah year. In the Gemara, they call it Shvi'it, the seventh year. And on that year, one is supposed to let the land fallow. You're not supposed to cultivate your field. So there are a number of melachot, such as we're seeing here, plowing and planting, that you're not allowed to do on the seventh year. And that has some similarities, which is why it's discussed here, with restrictions on land cultivation during Chol HaMoed, during the intermediate days of the festival, and on Shabbos, when you're not allowed to grow things. So that's what we've been discussing. Now, where we're at right now is we had an opinion that there was a decision made by the Beit Din of Hillel and Shammai, that is during the Second Temple period, during Bayit Sheni. The courts of Hillel and Shammai said that not only could you not plow and plant on the seventh year, the Shemitah year, but even Erev Shvi'it, even in the period of time several months before the Shemitah year began, you could no longer plow and plant, because that plowing and planting wasn't really being done for the sixth year, it was being done for the seventh year. And although Hillel and Shammai's opinions were slightly different, and depending on the field, they were similar to each other. So for instance, in an orchard, basically we said that approximately from Shavuot until Rosh Hashanah, you could no longer plant and plow. And for a grain field, a Sde Levan, from approximately Pesach until Rosh Hashanah, you can no longer plant. Now, what we said is that afterwards, Rabbi Shimon Redman Gamliel and his court, many hundreds of years later, at the end of the second Beit HaMikdash, they came and they nullified the decree of Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel, and they allowed people to plow and to plant all the way up until Rosh Hashanah, that is, until the beginning of the seventh year. So that's where we begin, 19 lines from the bottom. Amar Le Rabbi Zera Le Rabbi Abahu. Rabbi Zera said to Rabbi Abba, "Huva amrila Reish Lakish to Rabbi Yochanan," and some say Reish Lakish to Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan is actually a principal in this conversation. Rabbi Gamliel Beit Dino, Rabbi Gamliel and his Beit Din, his court, Heichi Matzu Mevatle Takanta. How is it possible that they could nullify the decree to Beit Shammai uBeit Hillel, of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel? The Hatanan, have we not learned in a Mishnah, and this is a famous teaching that occurs a number of times around Shas, Ein Beit Din Yachol Levatel Divrei Beit Din Chaveru. One Beit Din is not able to come and rescind the words of another Beit Din. Ela Imkein, unless it is Gadol Mimenu, greater than the first Beit Din, Bechachmo B'minyan, in wisdom and in number. There's a lot of discussion about exactly what this means. Minyan seems more clear, that it has to refer to the number of judges, and this would be difficult if the court of Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel was a Sanhedrin at the time of the Beit HaMikdash. They had 71 members. It's unlikely that Rabbi Gamliel had a larger court. Chachma is a little harder to define, and there are a number of different ways of doing it, but in this case, it would seem like the earlier authorities had greater chachma than the later authorities. So how is it possible that Rabbi Gamliel undid the takana of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel? So when they asked, when Reish Lakish asked Rabbi Yochanan this, Eshtomim kishachada, he was shocked, he was stunned. Like, he asked him a zinger of a question, and he was confounded. He didn't know what to say, but only for a minute. And then he realized what the answer was. Amar Le, and he said, Imor kach, say it like this. Hitnu beinehen. When Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel made the decree, they made a tznai, they made a condition attached to it, in which they said, Kol harotze levatel, anyone who wants to nullify this, yavo vivatel, let them come and nullify it. In other words, it was built into the system that if there was a time when a later authority felt that this decree was hurting Jewish farmers or was no longer necessary, that they had permission to make the change, which is, by the way, a great work-in to add to a system so that you don't wind up with a law in one century that doesn't work in a next century, but you can't get rid of it. So it was very forward-thinking of them. So the only reason he was allowed to do it is because they built into the takana in the beginning the opportunity for them to do it. Otherwise, they wouldn't have been able to. Now, the Gemara asks a different question. We're going to follow this. This is kind of an interesting analysis of all the possible sources for where a decree might come from. So we had just suggested that it was an edict, a takana, that was made by a court in a particular time. But now we're going to ask, maybe there's a different source for the law. Did huhi? Is it really their takana of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel? Halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai hi. We have a source that says that this tradition or this law of not working the land on Erev Shvit is actually a halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, which means it is an oral law that was given to Moses that does not appear in the Torah, and that is not a later gezerah, but it is de'oraita. It does come from the Torah. It has the status of a Torah law. It's just an oral Torah law. De'amar Rabbi Asi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Nechunya Ish Bigat Beit Hortan. That's all a list. Rabbi Asi said the name of Rabbi Yochanan, who's then the name of Rabbi Nechunya, who is a person who came from the valley of Beit Hortan. What he did is they identified three laws that are halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai. One of them is Eser Netiot, 10 saplings. That's the one that we're interested in, and we'll come back to it. Arava, the law of the willow. V'nisuch ha-mayim, and the libation of the water. So let's just do the last two briefly, and then we'll come to Eser Netiot. The institution of the Arava is something that was done on Sukkot. We also take willows. The arava is one of the four species that we take with the lulav, the etrog, the hadas, and the arava. So we know what an arava is, but this arava was a particular ritual that was done in the Beit HaMikdash, where every day the Kohanim would go around the Mizbeach holding an arava. And even though this ritual is not mentioned in the Torah, it is an oral law, and that's how they did it from. Nisuch HaMayim is also only done on Sukkot, and is also not mentioned clearly in the Torah, but that usually in sacrifices, there's a Nisuch HaYayin. They put a certain amount of wine onto the altar. They had a little shvoferet, a funnel that they would put wine into on the Mizbeach, but once a year, on Sukkot, because Sukkot is when the world is judged for water, they would also have a Nisuch HaMayim. They would put in some water as well. And as Tosfos mentions, even though there is an Asmachta, there are some hints in the Torah to the possibility that there's a water libation, we understand that that those are just Asmachtas. They are just hints, not sources. So the source for the Nisuch HaMayim ceremony on Sukkot is also Halacha l'Moshe mi-Sinai. Now finally, related to our topic, is Eser Netiot, which is a rule about the seventh year. And the rule goes as follows. If you have a betza'ah, which is a field that is like 50 amot by 50 amot, if you have a certain number of plants, and as we'll see, the conclusion of this is that the plants have to be saplings, that is, they're young plants, a certain density of plants, which is 10 plants in this field, or a larger field but the same density, they require irrigation, otherwise they will die. And since it's the makom pseida, it's a situation where if they're not irrigated, they will die. We have a halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai that a field of saplings that is at a certain density can be watered and irrigated up until Rosh Hashanah of the seventh year. Even though there's a general law that you have to stop working the field already in the sixth year. So just as we've been talking about, we said that it was a ruling of the court of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. But here the ruling seems to be an oral law that you had to stop working the land in the sixth year, but they made a special exception for these saplings that were planted in the field because otherwise they would die. Now, based on the fact that there's such an exception that allows you to plant all the way until Shvi'it, it implies that there must also be a halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai or some kind of law that says that ordinarily, in the case of non-saplings, older trees or a lower density of plants, that you cannot take care of them in Erev Shvi'it, in the end of the sixth year. Okay, so according to this source, there was a pre-existing halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai for not planting at the end of the sixth year. Okay, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak answers up this question, and he says, you just have to understand the different levels here. Kigemire hilchata, when they learned the halacha, that means the halacha that was given to Moshe, halacha l'Moshe mi-Sinai, shloshim yom lifnei Rosh Hashanah. That law was only 30 days. In other words, the rule was that for regular plants at a lower density, you had to stop watering them 30 days before Rosh Hashanah, that is, on the first of Elul. And for saplings, you were allowed to water them all the way up until Erev Rosh Hashanah. Va'atu hane, and they came, that is Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, and takun, they made a takana, an edict, mi Pesach u'me'atzeret, from Pesach and for Atzeret, depending on the kind of field that you couldn't plant. So they extended it from 30 days to several months. So there are different phases of this. The halacha of Moshe Mi-Sinai was only 30 days, and the takana of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel was longer. And then we'll see ve'atnu biditu, and then they made a tnai, they made this condition, kol harotze levatel yavoyu vivatel. Anyone who wants to come and nullify our decree can come and nullify it. So Rabban Gamliel and his Beit Din came and nullified it, but they only nullified the decree from Pesach for an orchard, for a grain field, and from Atzeret for an orchard up until 30 days before Rosh Hashanah, because the 30 days before Rosh Hashanah was a halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai. So we have now answered up that objection, but we have one more objection. V'hani hilchata ninhu. Now you just argued, we just made the argument that this is a halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai. Kira'e ninhu. But we have another source that says that this law is actually found in the psukim. Kira'e means that there is an explicit source in the Torah. Now, the difference between an explicit source in the Torah and a halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai is a explicit source in the Torah, whether it's 100% clear, like it says, you know, thou shalt do this, right? Ukshartem le'ot ayadecha, bind for a sign on your arm. That's an explicit mitzvah. Or whether it's derived from one of the hermeneutical rules of Rabbi Ishmael, you know, using the Yud Gimel Midot, those are derived from the verses. A halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai is something that is passed down orally that's not found in the text of the Torah. And what we're going to say here is that there are psukim. So I'm five lines up from the bottom. Ditnan, and the Masoras HaShas changes that to Ditanya because it's not found in the Mishnah in the way that it's quoted here. So Ditanya, as we learn in a Braita, based on this verse, Becharish uvakatsir tishbot, from plowing and from planting you shall cease. Now this pasuk that says you should stop plowing and planting is not talking about Shemitah. It's not talking about the seventh year. It's talking about Shabbos. Okay? However, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Akiva says, Ein tzarich lomar charish, but we apply it to Shabbos. How we do that is another thing. But Rabbi Akiva says, Ein tzarich lomar charish v'katsir shel shvi'it, but I don't have to apply this. This, even though this verse is free for me to apply to the seventh year, I don't have to apply it to the seventh year, Shahari Kfar Nemar, because I already have a pasuk for the seventh year, as the pasuk that we've been talking about. So the chalo tizra, your field you shall not plant, v'char mecha lo tismor, and your vineyard you shall not prune. Now, the Gemara, as it often does not quote the part of the verse that it actually cares about, because that's not the part it cares about. As Tosfos points out, it's the next pasuk that says, Et sviach kitzircha lo tiktzor. The sfichin you shall not cut, because the reason why that's the part that it cares about is because it says tiktzor. So I already have a verse that says that on the seventh year you shall not do ktsira. So this other pasuk that says becharishu vakatsir tishbot is redundant, because I already know from the pasuk in Vayikra that you cannot do ktsira. Okay, ela. So instead, what am I going to do with this verse? What we'll say is this, Charish shel erev shvi'it shenichnas l'shvi'it. The plowing that we're talking about is not plowing that you do on the seventh year itself. It's the plowing that you do erev shvi'it. It's the planting you do on the sixth year, just a little bit before the beginning of the seventh year. Shenichnas l'shvi'it, I'm at the top of Dalet Amud Aleph, that enters into the seventh year. So based on this pasuk, and by from first applying it from Shabbos to Shvi'it, and then saying, I don't need it in Shvi'it, so I'll use it for erev shvi'it, Rabbi Akiva applies this verse to the end of the sixth year. Uktzir shel shvi'i sheyatza lemotzei shvi'i. And he also applies it to plowing and planting that is done on the seventh year, but it's at the end of the seventh year, so it's really done for the eighth year. Okay, so that's our question. So we seem to have a pasuk that applies to it. Now, before we finish that, that's Rabbi Akiva's opinion. We're quoting the Braita, so we'll mention Rabbi Ishmael as well. Rabbi Yishmael learns it differently. Rabbi Yishmael Omer, Rabbi Yishmael says the way in which you learn this verse is macharish reshut, that there's a hekesh between charish and katsir, because it says becharish uva katsir tishpot. So what's the connection between charish, plowing, and katsir, which is reaping? Macharish reshut, just like plowing is done for your personal benefit, meaning you choose to be to plow your field, af kitzir reshut, so too harvesting, or this liktzor means to cut off from the tree, is also only refers to your private choices. What's that coming to exclude? Yatza, it excludes kitzir ha'omer shehi mitzvah, any kind of reaping which is a mitzvah. So what you're not allowed to do on the seventh year is to do your own personal plowing and reaping. However, it's not coming to tell you that you can't do Ketzirat HaOmer. Even on the seventh year, you're allowed to cut the Omer because you're doing that for the sake of the mitzvah, not for your own private needs. Okay, so how are we going to answer this question? Does this prohibition against working the fields at the end of the sixth year come from Psukim? Or does it Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai? Or is it a Takana of a Beit Din? So Ela Amar of Nachman Bar Yitzchak, or Nachman Bar Yitzchak says, Ki gemire hilchata, the halacha l'moshe misinai l'mishre yalda. That comes to permit the young saplings. In other words, the rule of the Eser Netiyot, the 10 saplings in a Beit Sa'ah that we talked about, and I mentioned it earlier already, just to explain it clearly, only refers to saplings, to young plants that need the water. Kra'e l'mesar zekena. The verses are come to forbid the older plants. In other words, even though we have Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai for the saplings, we have a separate verse that teaches us that older plants that are not saplings are forbidden. V'kevan dehilchata l'mishrei yalda lav memela zekena asira. So the Gemara asks, but wait a minute. The whole point of the question before was that once I say that there's a special exception that's Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai for saplings, it implies that there must be a prohibition already in effect for non-saplings. So why would I need a special pasuk to teach me that? That is the Gemara's question. And the Gemara accepts that question, which I think is a good point. Ella hilchata l'Rabbi Yishmael. Rather, it is a halacha l'moshe mi-sinai for Rabbi Yishmael because Rabbi Yishmael doesn't need the verses. Rabbi Yishmael applies the verses to allowing you to do things on the seventh year that are a mitzvah as opposed to things that are a reshut. So for Rabbi Yishmael, it's halacha l'moshe mi-sinai, k'raya l'Rabbi Akiva. But for Rabbi Akiva does not agree that Eser Netiyot, he must disagree with that source. He would say that the source that says Eser Netiyot is halacha l'moshe mi-sinai is wrong or is inaccurate, and that the true source for not being able to plow and harvest at the end of the sixth year comes from the Psukim and not from the Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai. So there's therefore a dispute between Amoraim, between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yochanan. Sorry, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael, there's a dispute between them about the initial source, but everyone agrees that either the verses or the Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai came to prohibit planting only in the 30 days before Rosh Hashanah, and the court of Hillel and Shammai came to prohibit it all the way back from Pesach and Shavuot. Okay, we'll stop there at the top of Dalet Amud Aleph. We'll continue in our next recording. Have a wonderful day.